Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're called to war. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen? They're not carnal. It's not our words. It's not our works. It's the Word of God. It's His power. It's His Spirit. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand if you would and open your Bible or your phone or your tablet or whatever it is, your Apple Watch, to John 21. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Somebody has to say amen. I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, as they should have. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Peter said, I'm going fishing. Now, every time I say that, I should hear someone say amen. Brother Thomas, amen. I'm going fishing. Anyone here like to fish? All right. Is there anyone here who has never been fishing? Okay, little people. Good. I'm glad to see you. All right. Some people like it and some people don't. Of my children, I have to tell you something about my wife. When we started seeing each other, she told me she loved to fish. But I think I was the one that was getting hooked because she doesn't like to go fishing with me. Because her idea of fishing was throwing out the bobber and getting something on the line every 30 seconds or minute or two, and otherwise it's not fishing. She doesn't like that, throwing the lure out and bringing it in, and throwing the lure out and bringing it in, and throwing the lure out, bringing it in. So some people just don't like fishing. Some do, some don't. Some people treat it like religion. And some people believe that fishing is barbaric. That you're hurting those poor little fish. Amen. Everybody, it's amazing how many different ideas, how many opinions you can get about something as simple as fishing. Something as that's been around as long as humanity, probably, but people have some very strong feelings one way or another. It's so commonplace, it's an everyday thing, but it just draws so many different attitudes. Here are the disciples of Jesus. They're just hanging out. Remember, this is, put the story in perspective, this was after the resurrection, but it was before the day of Pentecost. And just a bunch of guys hanging out, it looks like to me, it sounds like, you know. And maybe it's never happened to you this way, but one of them says, I'm going to go fishing. And suddenly, he's got six guys that are going with him. seven of the disciples. Now, we don't know if they were all apostles because it just says two of his other disciples. So maybe five apostles and two disciples, or I don't know that they really worried about it at the time what their positions or titles were. Just a bunch of guys hanging out together, and they decided to go fishing. One thing to notice is that they're all disciples. They're all believers. They're spending their time together. Amen. These are the followers of Jesus. A bunch of Christian guys. Brother Jeff, it's a bunch of Christian guys hanging out together. It's men's ministry. All right. Let's go fishing. It's good for us to be together, to do things together, to have fellowship outside of this building, to find things that we have in common. If that's really what fellowship is about, when you're talking in the Bible, we say fellowship, and right away, you know, our salivary glands start working because we're thinking food. But that's not what the Bible's always talking about when it's talking about fellowship. It's talking about sharing time together. We need to be spending time together, edifying one another, keeping each other out of trouble. Deer hunting is coming up this weekend. Anybody aware of that? Come on, somebody say amen. All right. I think there will be a few people gathering together, having fellowship. Some of it not so Christian, but there will be a lot of fellowship going on. Thanksgiving is coming up, and there many of us will be gathering together. And there's that food thing again, isn't it? Christmas. Think about all the time we spend gathering together with people in different settings, for different reasons, for different purpose. There's a lot of gathering together, but here's the question. Will Jesus be among us? Amen. Will our conversations and our behaviors invite him to be present? You know, we can all find our little groups, and in junior high they call them cliques, but of course adults don't have cliques, do they? It's not bad to have a circle of friends or a group of people that you spend time with. You have things in common and you share your activities, as long as you're having some godly interaction in the middle of all that, as long as Jesus is comfortable in your midst. Somebody say amen. Praise God. Notice, this was before the Great Commission. This was before they got their marching orders. Jesus was risen. They had seen him alive after his resurrection, but now they're just hanging out together. Sometimes you hear this story told and people talk as if these guys being together and going fishing was somehow they weren't following instructions, or they were avoiding their responsibility. But for half of these men, that's what they did. They were fishers. So they were actually being pretty constructive. Peter probably said, I'm tired of sitting around here. Let's go do something. And of course he said, let's go. This was before the Great Commission, before they had their instructions, before they'd been filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we just need to do what we know until we know better what to do. Amen. So some of us spend our whole life waiting for marching orders when in fact there are things to do right in front of us. Praise God. This was after that Jesus visited Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus. You remember that story? This was after Jesus visited the disciples when they were locked in the upper room, when they were afraid to even go out in public. And this was after Jesus visited them again, a second time in the upper room, to show Thomas that he was really alive. Amen. So this time they're out fishing and they're on the boat, and suddenly they hear someone calling to them, and they recognize that it's the Lord. So Peter, the guy who had the idea to go fishing, he's the first one out of the boat, and he starts swimming to shore because he knew that it was the Lord. So I don't think that it was wrong for them to go fishing. I don't think it was out of order. I don't think they were just because it's a leisure activity for us, I don't think it was necessarily a leisure activity for them. It's what they did. It's what they knew to do. Amen. Look at John 21:1 again. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Now, it mentions this, he showed himself. It stresses that by repeating. And it says, on this, what it really is saying here is he manifested himself. He didn't just show up. He manifested. He had a plan for what he was. Another version, several versions say he revealed himself. So this is not just a chance meeting. Jesus was there to reveal something about himself to his disciples. This was a divine appointment. They were having fellowship, which is a good thing. They were being productive. They were being constructive. And in the middle of that, God shows up and he wants to reveal something about himself. See, they're out in the boat. If you look at it, it's about 100 yards away is the way my math tells me. 100 yards, it's funny on the water. Sometimes 100 yards can seem real close. And sometimes it can seem like it's a long way off. Peter must have been quite a swimmer if he swam in 100 yards, depending on how deep the water was. Peter's desire was to get close to Jesus. In the midst of his fellowship, in the midst of his activities, in the midst of the things that he was doing, he wanted to get close to Jesus. When he heard the voice of the Lord, he wanted to get close to him. I want to talk tonight about being so close you can touch him. One version says this is how he revealed himself. This, as far as we know, about 10 times Jesus, it's recorded in the scripture that Jesus showed up, manifested himself after the resurrection. I'm not really sure how this worked. My understanding is that he didn't just walk around every day, you know, like the normal routine when he was in the flesh, that he manifested himself at certain times. He came here to reveal something about himself to his disciples. He came to it's more than just a touch, more than just a tag in. He was trying to teach them something. He was trying to reveal something to them. This was a special God-appointed divine encounter. We don't know how many chances we're going to get to have this kind of encounter with the living God. You don't know how many times the Lord is going to call your name and call you out from where you are to reveal himself to you. And Peter was hungry enough for the presence of God, hungry enough for the touch of Jesus, that he jumped out of the boat and began to swim to the shore. Praise God. We have to remember, we have to recognize, we have to realize that when the voice of the Lord is speaking to us, it's more important than anything else that we are doing. When God is dealing with your heart, when you feel the Holy Ghost touching your spirit, when you hear the voice of God calling you, that's more important than anything else in the world. More important even than fellowship with your brother and sister. Because Jesus wants to reveal himself to every one of us. Whatever your favorite thing is, your favorite experience, your personal preferences, whatever our interests, whatever our hobbies or our talents or our income, whatever our education or our philosophies, these are the things that define us. The most important thing is that Jesus is able to reveal himself to us. We can get caught up in the things of life, our jobs. Now, when I said that about fishing being a religion for some people, it really is. I mean, it's like religion. They're more faithful to that than anything else in their life. Some people are that way about hunting. We can get caught up in our jobs can become the most important thing in our life. I have a list of things that our jobs, hunting, fishing. Is Sister Sarah in here? Sarah, George? Crafting. I put that down just for. But it's true. It can become the most, for some people, that's what their life is all about. Crafting. Travel, politics, education. Family traditions, all of these things are good. There's nothing wrong with these things in and of themselves. But when they are the most important thing, then we're missing something. When the Lord calls us, when the voice of God speaks to us, we need to be ready to get as close to Him as we possibly can. Close enough to touch Him. We all need Jesus. Not only do we need Jesus, but we need Him to reveal Himself to us personally. Christ chose to manifest Himself to them at that time when they were together. Praise God. He promises, Jesus promised that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He would be in the midst of them. He promises to meet with us and manifest His presence when we gather together in His name. Praise God. Now, I'm not diminishing. I'm not saying that God doesn't meet with us individually. I think it's very important that we have those times where we go to the Lord in person every day. It's necessary. It's important. But there's something that happens that's different when God's people come together in His name. He reveals Himself in a more powerful and a more real way oftentimes than He does in person. We gather strength and we gain virtue from one another as we draw near to Him in His presence. And He reveals Himself to the whole body of Christ. Remember, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, when they were all in one accord, in one place, that's when there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You think if they'd gotten tired after a couple of days of fasting and all went home, that would have happened? No, that wasn't the way God planned it. Praise God. I want to be so close to Jesus I can touch Him. John 20:24 talks about Thomas. Thomas was separated from the other apostles when the resurrected Jesus first revealed Himself to all of them. This is after Cleopas. Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Him, "We have seen the Lord." But He said unto them, "Except I shall see in His hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, His disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then He said to Thomas, wouldn't you like to be Thomas right then? Then He said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto Him, "My Lord and my God." Praise God. You know the feeling. You had to do something for work, or you had to visit your family, or you stayed home from church because because you weren't feeling well or just because you were tired, and you talked to somebody that was there on Sunday night, what's the first thing they say? You should have been there. Oh, you missed it. Oh, God really came and visited us in a great way. Oh, powerful service. Miracles and signs and wonders. You missed it. That's how Thomas felt. Only he wasn't really ready to accept it because the thing that they were telling him was way beyond something he could imagine. He couldn't believe it. He said, unless I see it for myself, unless I experience it for myself. You see, he did not experience the level of revelation and receive the level of faith that those that were there had experienced. Many of you know that I lived up north for a while in the Antigo area. And it's Antigo, it's not Antigo. It's Antigo. Except sometimes I call it Anti-Go, but that's different. It's another story. And I would come to visit my home church here in Madison. And when we moved up there, this part of the building was still in construction. So the first time that I came into this auditorium was as a guest. And by that time, there had already been a huge amount of growth in the church, or probably at another 100 or 200 people that were attending from the time when I was attending service over in the fellowship hall. Did you know that? We used to have church and fellowship hall. And it was so different. I came in here, and the music, by then, the Leonardsons were here, and the music had changed, and there was much more people, and just worship was more vibrant, and there was just so much going on. And I thought, oh, man, and I left all of this. I mean, I was not unhappy where I was. I was blessed. I was part of the church there in Elton, and the 120 of us that were there, we had a good church, and praise God. But, boy, I came back down here, and it was like going from a high school football game to watching the Packers at Lambeau Stadium. I felt, wow, did I miss it? And I remember when we moved back here, it took us a while to get up to speed and to feel a part of what was going on because there had been a level of growth. There was a level of faith and anointing and power that was here that was greater than what we had left behind. It was a different church. This is what happens when we allow ourselves to be isolated from the body of Christ. This is what happens. I know there's a lot of people here who you went to Sunday school. Your family was a church family. You were raised in the church, but by the time you got to be an adult, you'd had enough church, and you decided you weren't gonna mess around with that anymore. But now you're back here for one reason or another, and I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you again. When we cut ourselves off from the body of Christ, when we remove ourselves from the presence of God, we lose out on something. We're missing something. Now, like I said, I know God can talk to us as individuals, but there's a growth, there's an increase, there's a blessing that comes when God's people are gathered together that isn't available on your own. I can show that scripturally. This is what happens when we start missing church, even as a Christian, as a child of God who's been going to church on a rate, just start missing a few services. Miss a week or two straight, and you come back, and it's weird. It's odd. You feel like a stranger in your own home church. Because the Spirit of God is a moving, living thing. And the body of Christ is a living organism. This is what happens when we put our things, when we put our things before God's things. I don't think that Christianity, I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe God prohibits us from pursuing and engaging in things outside of church. I think that if you don't, you're missing something, because God wants you to engage in the world so that you can share the love of God. I don't think God wants to prevent us from doing the best we can at our jobs, or increasing or improving or receiving promotions or getting the best job we can. I think God wants us to do that. There are some things I don't have great faith in, but one thing I have great faith in is the fact that God wants us to have a job, and a good job, and the right job. I believe that. So if you want someone to pray for you to get a job, I'll pray for you to get a job, because I believe it with all my heart. Because he's done it for me. I've given him... There was a time when I wanted to get to church because my job was making me work nights all the time, and it wasn't a bad job, but I was missing service. And I was hungry for God, and I made a list of required. This is what I need, God. This is what I want. I tell this story all the time, but I was a young Christian, and it meant so much to me. And because God did exactly, he showed me that he was hearing my prayer and that it was his will for me to do this. I gave him the details. I told him what I needed, and I applied for a job. Glenn Rossing actually gave me a contact at Pepsi. And I had an interview. I was down to the last three or four guys that were considering. But they hired somebody who was related, or someone who already had an in. They had a better, they probably liked them better than they liked Glenn. But I didn't get the job. I thought I was in. I thought, you know, my brother in the Lord gave me the reference. I got this far in the process. They, you know, no problem. This is it. I got the job. And they called up and said, no, sorry. And they told me who it was, and they told me why. And it was obvious that it was because this guy was already connected. And okay, praise God. So I thought, well, I guess that's not right. And I was kind of disappointed. But then a couple of days later, somebody called me up at work. I was on my job working for the city, and they called me up and offered me a job over the phone. And I started asking questions about, well, what does it entail? And right down, I had to take a 10-cent an hour less than what I had originally wanted to start with, but the job was going to pay more in a month than what I was already making. But as far, I asked for certain hours, I asked for certain requirements for place and time, and God filled in all the gaps for me. Praise God. Because it was his will for me to come to church, really. What am I saying? God wants us to have good jobs. He's not opposed to us fishing or hunting or crafting or travel or politics or education. He's not opposed to family traditions. But when those things are more important in our relationship with him, we lose out. It doesn't take anything away from God. We lose out. If we submit all of those things to God, they'll be so much better. Amen. Because then he can come and be with us while we're doing them. We can't let things separate us from the body of Christ. This is the message that phrase right there, we can't let ourselves be, that's the same message that Brother Russell preached in Voices of Need Us today. I thought, let the church hear what the Spirit has to say. Amen. We can't let things separate us from the body of Christ. We can't let things separate us from the presence of God. We need to be so close that we can touch him. Remember what happened when Thomas came and Jesus revealed himself to him and he was close enough. He said, you can put your finger right in my hand. You can put your hand right in my side. I'm this close to you. I'm this real. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. When you're close enough to touch him, you know that Jesus is your Lord and your God. Praise God. This is the incident. This happens in chapter 21, just before, in chapter 20, just before the verse that we read to start with at the beginning of this message. This is the last incident that's mentioned. John says, after these things, and then they went fishing. They'd had this visitation. They'd had several visitations from Jesus, and that's when they went fishing. And when you read the story about when they went fishing, it says, Peter went and Thomas, called Didymus, was with them. Guess what? Thomas made sure that he was with the body when they were doing stuff from that point forward. Praise God. When you get close enough to Jesus to touch him, you want to be around him all the time. Praise God. What this church needs, what the church needs, the church in the whole wide world, what I need, what each one of us here needs is for Jesus to be so close that we can touch him. Then the most important thing in our life will be our Lord and our God. Praise God. You know, when Jesus was crucified, he was put in the tomb, and the apostles were afraid and confused. Anybody feel afraid and confused lately? There's been a lot of that going around. Amen. That's not wrong. It's not sinful. It's just, we don't get to decide how we feel. We can determine what we do about our feelings, but we don't get to decide how we feel. They were confused. They were afraid. They were worried about where things... Jesus was gone. He was crucified. He was in the tomb. Some of them gathered together in a group, but some of them began their journey back home. They left. They were walking away. But the Bible tells us that Jesus met them the way. He met them where they were. The story of Cleopas and his companion, the Bible says that they were walking away from Jerusalem. And while they were walking toward their home, suddenly a stranger came up alongside them and said, you guys look really upset. You look really bummed out. What's the problem? And they said, well, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Jesus is crucified. Now, you know, I know there's a lot of people who are upset about the way things have gone in the last couple weeks. That's nothing to take lightly. That's a real thing. And do you think that if you think Jesus isn't aware of that? You think he doesn't care about that? He said, well, what? Didn't you know about Jesus? Didn't you know that he had to die? Didn't you know that it was part of God's plan? And the Bible says that from that point forward, he began to explain to them everything that was in the Old Testament that described why and how Jesus did what he did. Praise God. You see, when we get to that point where we're ready to walk away, we need to be willing to let Jesus come up alongside of us and start talking to us. We need to be willing to walk with Jesus for a little while. Notice, he did not rebuke them for feeling upset. He did not rebuke them for their confusion. All he did was give them an understanding of why they shouldn't be anymore. Praise God. We must be willing, like Cleopas and his companion, to walk with Jesus. Their hearts were broken. They were disappointed. They were confused. They were probably even a little bit angry. They were probably experiencing the stages of grief where they were going through this process of How could we be such fools? Why did we believe this? Why would he tell us stuff like that? The whole process, disheartened. But Jesus is willing to help us understand the things that don't make sense in our life. But we have to be willing to walk with him and sit down and break bread with him. Praise God. The worst thing you can do is walk away in confusion. Because otherwise, how is he going to open our understanding? Notice, they walked with Jesus and they sat down to break bread with him. And when he broke the bread, the Bible says their eyes were opened and they knew that he was the Lord. They were close enough to touch him. So these apostles are together, and it's been, we don't know how many days passed between the time of the crucifixion and these visitations in the upper room and this time when they're out there fishing. The Bible doesn't say specifically. We know it was at least 8 days between the first visitation and the visitation with Thomas in the upper room. But we don't know after that how long it was, but they were, these seven disciples were still together. They were doing something with their time. They were having fellowship together. We know they hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. They hadn't received the Great Commission. They hadn't been told to go and preach the gospel to every person. They were kind of just hanging out, floating around. But when the day came, when they received the Great Commission and they went and they gathered together there in the upper room and they waited for the Holy Ghost. Once they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says there was about 120 in the upper room. And on that day of Pentecost, they were all filled. Everyone say, all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible uses terms like each and every over and over again to make it clear to us that not just one, not just two, not just 12, not just 20, but all 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. God can fill every person in this room with his Holy Spirit in an instant, in a moment of time, if we'll get close enough to touch him. Praise God. Not only that, by the time the day was done, that 120 had turned into 3,120 because over 3,000 people, the Bible says, were added to them that day. Not long after that, 5,000 more were filled with the Holy Ghost in another visitation of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know how many in between there, so we're talking at least 8, 10,000 people in a short amount of time had been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't know what I mean by being filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to explain that quickly. He said as he looked at the clock. To be filled with the Holy Ghost means that you have opened up your heart, opened up your life to the presence of God and to the will of God. It happens when we repent from our sins. It means we recognize, hey, I'm doing things that God does not approve of. It's called sin. And I know I need God, so I'm willing to stop doing these things. And I'm willing to admit to God that I need his help to do it. I'm a sinner, God. Please help me to change. Praise God. That's called repentance. Admitting you're a sinner, asking God's forgiveness for your sin, and relying on him for the strength to make the change. Praise God. When we do that, and we open our heart and our life and completely submit to him, his Spirit fills us up. And in a moment, we begin to, if we will allow him to work through us, begin to speak in a language that we never learned. Now, the way that happens is if you have to be speaking. And most often, it's in the act of worshiping God that it takes place. And as you do that, his Spirit will flow through you and fill you up. And you'll hear yourself speaking in a language you never knew. Praise God. That's what I mean. On the day of Pentecost, over 3,000 people received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Not too many days later, 5,000 more. And pretty soon there were, sometimes there's an estimate that the Jerusalem church, the early church, was over 100,000 people. Praise God. What am I saying? I'm saying that that God, that Jesus Christ is so close. He's with us here tonight. He's so close that we can touch him. Hallelujah. But we need to have Jesus reveal himself to us. He's not some far off God. He's not even 100 yards away like he was when they were in the boat. But Jesus Christ is right here, right now, in his Holy Spirit. All we need to do is get close enough to touch him. That's why we have this area up front. You can come down here and pray. You can pray right where you are. You don't have to come down here. It's just an act of faith when you step out and you surrender to God. That physical act of moving forward is a commitment. It's an act of faith. And when you do that, the closer you get, the more you believe that I'm making a step forward toward God. God's going to meet you there. It isn't necessary for you to come down here, but if you want to have faith, if you want to show your faith, if you want to respond to God, that's the best way to do it. Praise God. God needs to reveal himself to you, yourself, not the pastor's God, not the preacher's God, not the church, but Jesus Christ himself wants to reveal himself to you so close that you can touch him. Praise God. You can touch the hands of Jesus before you leave this place tonight. Jesus Christ will fill you with his Holy Spirit. See, for years, the church, the apostolic church, we believed this Acts 2:38 message. We believed this day of Pentecost message. When I came into the church, we didn't see things happen the way they do today. We saw people receive the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name, but it didn't happen every service. It didn't happen every week. It didn't happen all the time. And it was a big deal when there was three or four people at one time that were baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. And we questioned and we asked ourselves and we said, why don't we have the revival that the apostles had? Why aren't we seeing the book of Acts experience? We're praying, we're fasting, we're preaching the gospel. We kept struggling and struggling and praying and teaching and preaching. And suddenly, a man named Billy Cole went to Ethiopia and he brought a team of people with him and they had this revival there and tens of thousands of people, 100,000 people in one meeting were filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, just overflowing, outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And of course, word got out and then apostolic churches all over the world began to believe we can have that kind of revival. Praise God. I'm not that old. I said, I'm not that old. But I do remember in the 80s when we wondered if we were ever going to, we talked about we're on the verge of revival. We're about to have a revival. Revival's coming. But I'm here to tell you that we're experiencing the revival we've been waiting for. It's happening right here, right now. So if you're a visitor here, or if you're new to the Apostolic Church, if you're new to Calvary Gospel Church, I want you to know that you're in the midst of something supernatural and historical. It's going to change the world, and it's happening right now, and we're in the middle of it. Praise God. I believe with all my heart, you've come at the best time you could possibly come to an apostolic church because there's faith in the house and Jesus is here. And all you have to do is reach out and you can feel the presence of God and he'll fill you up before you leave. People are being healed and delivered every day all over in the state of Wisconsin, in the United States, and all over the world. We've experienced miracles in Voces Unidas. I've experienced the healing myself just by someone leading a worship service. I didn't expect it to happen, and God touched me and healed me, and I walked out of there without the pain that I've been carrying around for a year. God is moving. Every year, several hundred people are being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right here at Calvary Gospel Church. Praise God. Jesus said to the apostles out in the boat, he said, cast your net on the other side. Now, it's a simple thing. These are fishermen. All night long, they've been fishing. He didn't tell them to do anything they didn't know how to do. They didn't have to learn any new skill. All they had to do was obey the word of the Lord. They could have been experts and said, well, we're fishermen. There's no fish around here. We're coming in. But they listened to God. And when the Lord's talking to somebody here tonight and he's telling you, cast your net on the other side of the boat. You've been going to counselors. You've been trying to find help. You've been asking family members to support you. You've been trying to overcome your addiction to pornography. You've been trying to overcome your problems with anger. You've been trying to fix your relationships. You've been trying to do everything you know how to do. You've been sincere about it, but it just doesn't work. And I'm telling you that Jesus is speaking to you today, and he's saying, just cast your net on the other side of the boat. When they did, they had so many fish. We try to do things in this life. We struggle even to do the things that we know are right, and it just doesn't work. All night long, we fished and toiled and haven't caught a thing. Just cast your net on the other side of the boat. Do what he says. Do what he says. Do what he's telling you to do. And you'll be shocked at the result. I've tried to live right. I've tried to fix my marriage. I've tried to get along with people. I've tried to quit drinking. I've tried to quit smoking. I've tried to quit drugs. I've tried to do all these things. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Praise God. If you will come and pray, if you will throw your net out on the other side and worship God and surrender your life to Jesus, he will fill you with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence. He is speaking to someone here in this house, and he's letting you know that if you will come, you will be close enough to touch him. Let's stand. Acts 17:26 says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for one blood. You know, they've proved that scientifically, that every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every race, we all have the same blood. He hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times. He has determined the times. He has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. He knows when the time is right, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You may think that your life has removed you far from God, but no, he is never far from you as long as you turn your heart towards him. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are his offspring. Praise God. Jesus Christ is here. He's not far away. He's not far away. He's close enough. You can touch him tonight. You can touch him. Praise God. And he will touch you with his presence. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you will repent from your sin, you can have them washed away in water baptism, and you can start a new life. Praise God. You can be born again of the water and the Spirit according to the will of God and the word of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This is where you need to bring your boat. Down to the front here. If you want to repent from sin, if you want to make a change in your life, if you want to be born again, come right down here on this side, and there will be someone here to pray with you. Let's have our altar workers come, and they will help you to pray and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you need healing, I believe in healing, divine healing, more than ever before. Praise God. And I've received a healing just a month ago. It just out of the blue. And then God reminded me of the miracles of healing that I had seen, that I had been present to experience in the past. God is a healer, and He can heal you tonight. If you're struggling with something, you just can't get over on it. You just can't win the victory. Just come right down here and turn it over to get close enough to touch Him, and He will meet with you, and He will give you an answer. He will help you. Praise God. Close enough to touch Him. Paul said that to a bunch of unbelieving Greeks. They didn't even know who Jesus was. And he said, He's not far from any one of you. They had never heard of Him before. They were educated. They were cultured. Philosophers and professors and professional religionists. But Paul said, you can touch God because He's not far from you. How much more you who know Jesus, you who have heard the Word of God, you who know who He is, just come and touch Him. And He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost.